Big news! Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders on the second craziest day of the year. I am Adam Weinrib, joined as always by fan-sided MLB insider Robert Murray, the only podcast where the comment section is full of 38 people saying that Willie Castro just got pulled in the ninth inning of an 8-1 baseball game in Minnesota. Man, I love late July, mid-season, the best time of year. And there's no one I'd rather talk about it with than Robert Murray. We're going to get to your questions today. We're going to get to mostly your questions today. Got a few things we want to address, but man, we're going to rely on everybody to help us through this show because there is so much craziness, and tomorrow going to be even more nuts. Robert, how you doing?
I've had better days, to say the least, but I can first say this. Willie Castro did not get traded. I can say that with 100% confidence. So that is a rumor that we can squash. I also want to address the Adrian Hauser thing. That was an extreme miscommunication with a source, and I got to wear it. That's my bad. It was not intentional. I feel really bad about it. I've been eating myself up ever since because I don't like making mistakes. I don't make mistakes, but I wanted to make sure that was not left unsaid. So White Sox fans, Yankees fans, I apologize. I'm glad I was not a big player. But your guys' trust means everything to me, and yeah, I got it wrong. So I wanted to wear that and start the show off with that. But now we move forward because we got a lot of stuff to start with here.
We sure do move forward. We appreciate everybody joining us for that. Obviously, Robert still has so many irons in the fire, and the next one he breaks is going to feel just as good. And there will be a next one because there's so much player movement flying like pans in a chaotic kitchen scene. Austin Slater goes this morning, finally breaks that dam a little bit, kind of, but man, here comes the flurry. We're seeing connections all across the space. We want to thank everybody. Hit that join button below. Join us in the Discord. Get your questions answered between shows and keep the chatter going when we sign off, because goodness knows we're going to have plenty more to talk about tonight and into tomorrow before our final show before the deadline, which is 2 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow afternoon. We are just rolling right into it. Subscribe to the Moonshot. That's Fanside and MLB's newsletter, delivering Robert's takes and news directly to your inbox. And also make sure to read fansided.com/baseball-insider for Robert's content, my weird content, plenty of great stuff from the Fansided MLB staff writers and more. You can also see Robert and I live at the National Card Show this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, 10 a.m. Central Time. We're going to be live in Chicago, wrapping up the trade deadline, speaking to great guests. Can't wait for all that. Wow. Okay. Again, too much to cover. That's the plugs. They're in. Now let's roll. I'm also, man, there's just so much to discuss. It's hard to even get back to where we wanted to start with. But we had some I want to talk to Brian Hayes first, biggest trade of the day so far, but probably not going to be the biggest trade by the time this day ends, maybe not even by the time the show ends. He doesn't leave the NL Central, goes to the Reds, and the Reds get a reliever who they're probably going to flip in the aftermath of this too. Pretty weird one, and the Reds take on the whole contract.
Yeah, this was a deal that's been in the works for quite some time. It may have even been in place as early as last night, but it was complicated with the finances involved, and they had to figure out how they would make it all work. But Hayes was a prime change of scenery candidate. The Pirates were absolutely open to moving him. They were not in a position where they wanted to just give him up, They wanted actual value in return. They felt like they got that with the infield prospect that they got in return, who was the number 9 rated prospect for the Reds. And Taylor Rogers was a really interesting one there. And I would not be surprised at all if he was flipped between now and the deadline. He feels like a prime chip for them to move. But yeah, no, that was a trade that I was not surprised by. Maybe the location was a kind of a surprise because I did not hear the Reds involved, but they were looking at Suarez. They were looking at some other players. So they got the third baseman that they wanted. And now Hayes is a Cincinnati Red.
Yeah, I was confused that was the destination, especially since I sort of consider the Reds a dark horse for Eugenio Suarez. But no go. They're going to go with defense. They're going to go with plus 15 DRS this year and hope they can get Ke'Bryan Hayes' launch angle back. We will see how that goes. A lot of the chatter today around relievers and around blockbusters. So I've got one of each I want to touch on before we get to a whole bunch of questions. Juan Duran fake hugged everybody, much like Willie Castro just did last night. Report was not traded, just hugging his bullpen catcher for fun. Sure. Sir Anthony Dominguez goes last night from Baltimore to Toronto. We think maybe that opens the floodgates. It does not. Just because Duran did not go last night does not mean he is off the market. Of course, hearing about the Dodgers heating up their pursuit, hearing about the Red Sox being connected, the Phillies. What can you tell us about Duran's market and what you anticipate going on with the relievers over the next 24 hours? Is he the first to go and then the dominoes follow, or is he the grand prize at the end?
This is the market that I am trying to get a good read on. And as far as Duran goes, there have been around like 7 teams who have checked in within like the last 12 to 18 hours. So the Twins are continuing to work through that. I've seen the reports about like progress or that like, it's starting to move. I haven't directly confirmed that by any means, but that being said, his market is definitely active. There are plenty of teams who are interested. So I would not be surprised if something got across the finish line there, considering just pure desperation from teams looking for bullpen help. I saw the Dodgers connected. I can't say I've heard them at the forefront of talks at this point. But the Dodgers are definitely looking for a reliever at this point. David Bednar is another name that is going to get a lot of interest. He has gotten a lot of interest, and my guess is he's ultimately moved. There's plenty of teams involved, such as Philadelphia. I can see the New York teams being in. Just the Tigers have been linked there as well. So he's getting plenty of interest. The asking price, as we've said, is not that much. It is, well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's a lot. But for a reliever of his caliber, especially one who's controllable, and organizations like around top 5 prospect and change is not exactly the worst thing in the world for teams when the price for Duran or the Jacks or whoever else is at least 2 top 100 prospects. So between him, there's teams that are still trying for Mason Miller, although I don't think that's the most likely thing in the world, but teams are going to continue to try. But those are the names that are getting asked about the most. And I mean, there's other names, we'll get into them here in a little bit with Cleveland. But the market has definitely picked up within the last 12 to 24 hours.
Yeah, I want to focus on that for sure. I'm glad you didn't squash the Mason Miller thing, but brought it up before I could as well, because I did want to get right to what on earth is going on with Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber. Who Mark Feinstein sent earlier today. Not only are they available, but Cleveland is trying to move them, in quotes. Do they move together? You know, we've seen Kwan connected to the Dodgers, Padres, Phillies, Jays. We just saw Bieber and the Dodgers connected. You have connected the dots on Bieber and the Red Sox plenty. in the last couple of days. So Quan, Bieber, separate deals, one big package. What is the likelihood that they are both on the move?
That it's realistic is how I would describe it. And I don't know if I would say that they're shopping them. I think that might be a little strong, but they're definitely open to listening here. And Quan is a player who has drawn a significant amount of interest, and rightfully so. He's one of the best outfielders in the game. He's controllable. He's just a great locker room guy from everything that I've heard. There's a lot that is really kind of going on behind the scenes there. The team that makes the most sense to me remains the San Diego Padres. We know how much AJ Preller loves the big fish. He's got prospects. He's got trade history with the Cleveland Guardians. And he also has a need in the outfield as well. So all the ingredients are there for Preller to possibly do something there. I'm sure there's been plenty of conversations between the two sides, but there's going to be plenty of other teams that are going to be involved in that as well. We saw John Heyman mention the Reds. I don't know how possible that is after them getting Key Brian Hayes. The Dodgers have been linked, but I don't know. I'm not so sure about that one, but we'll see. But Quan is getting a lot of interest, and Bieber is someone who I've said quite a bit on this show. And he's the perfect under-the-radar kind of guy who's coming back from injury, who can really end up helping a team in the second half of the season. And his interest, the market for him is good. It's very good. And he looked good in his most recent rehab start the other day. So we'll see if he's ultimately moved, but I think at least one of them will probably be traded, is my guess.
I'm seeing the comments now. Going to go to as many as we can. Why weren't there rumors on Hayes from JS? I mean, there definitely were rumors on Brian Hayes. Reds were maybe not as strongly connected as others, but in terms of controllable Pirates, I think we did expect him to be the one likeliest to move. Let's go to the Angels. I'm going by, this is my own order of operations, like the teams that did make moves earlier today, what could come next, teams we haven't talked about. Then I'll circle back a little bit. So forgive me, it's going to get chaotic, folks. Tomorrow's going to be even crazier. But the Angels nabbed two relievers from Washington Nationals in one fell swoop. There's been some sort of, there's been a little debate on, okay, we get Andrew Chafin and Luis Garcia. Does that make us buyers? Or is that just trying to backfill lower upside options for the bullpen in case they do trade Kenley Jansen, Reed Detmers, other pieces? For me, acquiring pitchers of this caliber does not signal to me, oh, the Angels are crazy, they're misguided, they're buyers. It's just, you know, you want to stay afloat. They're in the wild card mix. They're not waving the white flag. But this doesn't, to me, show them picking a direction or picking the wrong one. But what are your thoughts here?
I got a lot of thoughts here. And the Angels, to me, they scream a team that should sell, because they have, what, a less than 5% chance of actually advancing to the postseason. And even then, like, what are the odds they make it out of the wild card round? And it seems like they've declined the chance at retooling or rebuilding in recent years, and they've really come to regret it. And I mean, especially with the Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez year, where they acquired them, gave up their top prospects, and then 2 weeks later put them on waivers just so they could save money. So it feels like an organization that has no real clear direction from the very top. I don't know. Like, I personally wonder if Perry can, if this was Perry's team, if he would be making the moves that he made today. So I'm wondering what exactly the influence is there from the Angels, but it seems like they are in position to buy. I know there's people in the organization who do not want to trade Kenley Jensen or Reed Detmers, because they've been very good for both of them, or both of them have been very good for the Angels this year. But to me, this seems like a team that should absolutely sell. There should be no questions asked on the fact that they're actually adding two relievers rather than selling. It feels like Artur Moreno is doing his thing once again.
I'm going to hit you with the other team that made a move today. The two sides of the Yankees-White Sox trade, both teams fascinating as we head towards the deadline. The White Sox, of course, the sell-off has begun, but it has not included Luis Robert Jr. yet. Austin Slater goes to the Yankees. Like everybody predicted, the Yankees have added three bats and no pitchers so far. So Yankees first, when do they finally get the pitching they so desperately need, and what kind of pitching are they targeting?
Yeah, they're looking for both bullpen and starting pitchers at this point with the Yankees, and they're continuing to scour the market looking for different arms, and Bednar makes a lot of sense there with the Yankees. To me, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but I don't know if this is the team that you necessarily go all in for. because there's so many holes and just overall, I don't know how good this Yankees team is. But Bednar, I mean, sorry about that, Adam.
No, they're awesome. Yeah, we love them.
No, but the Yankees are definitely looking. I would expect them to add some arms between now and the deadline being over. And I mean, Brian Cashman, he's added three bats, as you said. He made it clear that he was going to be aggressive at this time of the year. So it's time for him to put his money where his mouth is, and I expect him to. I just don't know the kind of magnitude of moves that he's going to ultimately make.
And from the White Sox side, they start the rental process. You know, Austin Slater, not the big-time chip they've got. Thoughts on Robert Jr.? And, you know, we connected with the Mets yesterday, got connected to the Mets pretty heavily overnight. Sort of these trade packages begin to form. I think Mark Feinsand had Luis Angel Acuna in one. You know the Mets have a logjam to sell from. What are your thoughts on the White Sox and Robert Jr.? Likelihood of moving 24 hours from, you know, threat level midnight.
Yeah, and Luis Robert Jr. is drawing interest from a good amount of teams around the league, and they view him as a prime change of scenery candidate. And, I mean, how can you not after watching what Andrew Vaughn is doing in Milwaukee? He went from being a bust in Chicago after being, what, the number four overall pick to being like a hero in Milwaukee, hitting the grand slams against the Cubs and just having everyone rally around you. So it's something that I think teams are aware of, and also the White Sox are definitely aware of it too. And their stance continues to be that if they don't get what they want in return, that they're happy to hold on to them and pick up the options for next year. And we'll see if that's ultimately like an actual thing that they'll do. To me, it feels like posturing, but it's something that from the moment I reported it, I think it was last week to now, they've maintained that stance. So we'll see. I expect Adrian Hauser to be moved. Again, I feel very bad about that tweet. I saw someone ask what happened with that tweet earlier. I addressed that at the start of the show. So if you want to see that, go ahead or go ahead and watch that. But I expect him to be moved, and there should be.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Plenty of teams interested there as well.
I think he's a good fit. He was a good fit for the New York Yankees. I'll take Slater, though. Slater, definitely a good fit for what they're looking for. Scrolling back to find Meek Phil's comment, because I want to talk about the Phillies. Appreciate this. Meek was doing a little digging earlier, noticed quite how bad Nick Castellanos has been. The answer is real bad. We've considered on this show Dave Dombrowski to be one of the guys most likely to be a mover and shaker at this deadline. Even Bryce Harper being the mouthpiece, talking about how he could fit Eugenio Suarez in. It's like, all right, we get it, dude. You want Eugenio Suarez. But still nothing from Philadelphia, 28 hours out. Although, to be fair, nothing from anybody really until a couple hours ago. But thoughts on the Phillies' pursuits and how creative they could get?
Yeah, I'm wondering, Meek, and it's a good question by you, but at this point, what team is going to want Castellanos for his salary and his lack of production and try to give up something meaningful in return? So I can understand the vision there for sure, but my guess is the Phillies go out and get bullpen help, whether it's one or two arms, and they end up adding an outfielder of some sort. And they've been looking at the very top of the aisle in terms of bullpen help. I mean, I think Ken Rosenthal linked them to Mason Miller earlier. I can say that they've had interest in David Bednar, and they like him quite a bit. There's others that they've been linked to. I think it was John Heyman linked them to the guys in Minnesota. So, I mean, they're looking almost everywhere, and I expect them to get at least one of the top arms who it is remains to be seen, but Luis Robert Jr. can make some sense there, and we'll see what ends up happening with Brandon Marsh after that. But yeah, they're looking. Dave Dombrowski loves this time of the year to make moves, and I expect him to do just that.
Another comment I want to use to jump off of Gabriel is saying, feels like the Cubs have been searching for pitching without being linked to anyone. Sandy Alcantara on a bit of a heater and still the name who's maybe generating the most interest from the mound heading into the deadline, but no one knows where he goes or what's going on. The Cubs and Marlins, I know from speaking to you, have been heavily linked on targets in the past. The Alcantara ask, as reported by Sean McAdam, is two top prospects and more. So they're not relenting at all, despite his semi-tough season that's been turning around a little bit lately. Am I wrong to connect the Cubs and Marlins here? And will anyone pay this rumored price for Sandy Alcantara?
Yeah, that you're very wise for linking those two teams, because they have talked plenty throughout the entire process here of the deadline. Whether or not that leads to a deal, I don't know, but they have talked plenty. And as far as the Marlins is pitching goes, a Sandy trade, definitely possible. An Edward Cabrera trade, definitely possible. It's no guarantee that either one is going to be moved, but they are definitely open to it. They are talking to plenty of teams about either one. And I mean, Anthony Bender is another name that has been getting plenty of interest there as well. And as I said on the show yesterday, they've talked about him in package deals with other players. So we'll see if that is ultimately what ends up happening here, if Bender is moved. I want to make sure I get this one right. Dane Meyers is also another name that has been discussed by the Marlins. So that is another name to keep an eye on there in Miami, but they are having plenty of conversations. I don't know of anything close quite yet, though.
And Robert, watch out. Hector Gomez just made a tweet contradicting your Dodgers opinion, so you might want to lay low for a while. Yeah.
Also, thank you for this, Adam. Hector put out a tweet the other day about more Guardians pitchers or players being investigated for betting, whether it was Emmanuel Clase or after him and Luis Ortiz. But he said that there was other players being investigated besides those two. I am told that is completely false, and that is not the case at all. So I wanted to clear that up, because that was a pretty bad miss.
Well, so here comes maybe another Hector tweet. We'll see. But a good opportunity for that, of course. Got a super chat, and I appreciate it, because obviously a lot of Red Sox fans in the comments. And I know that because they're just giving me score updates on the Red Sox beating up on a position player in Minnesota. Can always count on Red Sox fans to do that. Love you guys. Hate you guys. Love you guys, though. But George here bringing up all of the targets in one super chat that have been mentioned. Yandy Diaz. The connection is so strong that I kind of can't believe he hasn't been moved yet. I thought he might get traded with two outs in the ninth last night in the Bronx up as the tying run. But no, unfortunately, he did take that AB. But Yandy feels like the most realistic Red Sox fit. But yeah, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, and a Rob Bradford tweet got linked this morning. Sandy Alcantara and the Sean McAdam piece where he talked about the cost. Duran, of course, we mentioned a little bit earlier. Any thoughts on how aggressive the Sox get? Because this all feels like it's coming on the heels of a report. I think it was McAdam and Chris Cotillo that basically said they don't think they have to be that aggressive. They're fine with a Charlie Morton or an innings eater. And then all of a sudden they're linked to all these names at the top of the market.
No, they've been linked to a lot of different names. And I would credit this to Craig Breslow doing his due diligence. Like, Yandy Diaz is a tremendous fit. And if the Rays actually entertain moving him, which I think they're listening, which, I mean, that's what good teams do. The Red Sox should be all over that, because he is a perfect fit for Boston. He's meant for Fenway. And I haven't heard them directly linked to those pitchers. I mean, I don't know if that's not saying that the reports are false by any means. It's just not something that I've directly heard. But they're looking in a lot of different places. I can confidently say that much. Whether it's a Shane Bieber or a Charlie Morton, I think those guys would make plenty of sense too. But they're not going to get stupid. I don't think they're not going to be in a position where they sell the farm to try to win this year. They're going to have this year and also long term going forward. So, I mean, I don't expect any overpaying by any means here from the Red Sox. But they are definitely one of the more I don't want to say aggressive, but they're definitely evaluating the market pretty extensively here, as I have Cooper chasing his tail behind me. So I don't know if you can hear that, but he is doing that as we speak.
Yeah, Biscuit not handling the deadline well. I was told yesterday he ate a piece of a chicken nugget, and I watched him eat a chunk of a bagel. So, Biscuit, be a better boy. We got a lot of work to do, okay, buddy? But appreciate you, as always. Appreciate the question and the super chat. The Blue Jays, probably the most screamed about team in these comments that isn't the Red Sox. So, gotta go here. Latest thoughts on what Toronto could be up to. And from what I've heard, deadly serious about the relief market. Sir Anthony Dominguez, not nearly enough. They plan on going pretty hard, doubling, maybe even tripling down there.
Yeah, no, for sure. And they're looking very hard at bullpen help. And Dominguez was a nice add for them yesterday. And it was funny watching him go from one clubhouse to the other and then giving the guys flack as he was walking by the bullpen in the middle of the game. But they're not stopping there. And they've talked to a lot of different teams about their relievers. I know one that they've been on is Ryan Helsley. They like him quite a bit, and they've talked. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that they ultimately get, but that being said, they remain active, and I would be really surprised if they don't end up getting one. Nope, nothing there. Okay, I thought maybe we could be cooking. But no, they're definitely looking for bullpen. I feel very confident in saying that.
Yeah, we're always cooking, even if we're not directly cooking. We're going to get some business by end of day. You never know, we might even get something broken on the stream. I'm going to combine two thoughts, double Astros thoughts, because Jim Bowden today went as far as saying Dylan Cease to the Astros will probably happen, I think was the quote, which makes you go, what? In the middle of a Wednesday. We also have heard, we sort of all woke up this morning to a tidal wave of all of a sudden, hey, maybe Carlos Correa reunion, even though the financials make no sense and the long-term fit makes no sense and all of it makes sense, and the no trade clause portion makes no sense. Correa doesn't play today. He's lightheaded as the Twins run out just a murderer's row against the Red Sox in a day game. And you guys can hear me rolling my eyes out of the back of my head. Cody Clemens may be the best pitcher the Red Sox face today. But thoughts on the Astros, the Cease pursuit, like, is that something akin to a done deal? And then clarifier, what on earth is this Carlos Correa stuff?
But first, I want to clarify a different message from MLB Deadline News. The slander of my TVs will not be tolerated. It's five TVs, not three. But no, I have them so I can watch as many games as possible, whether it's baseball or whether it's football. Like, this is the place to be during sports games for sure. But going back to the other, what was the question again? I forgot.
the cease oh, will, yeah, probably happen stuff, and then whatever is going on with Correa.
Yeah, with Correa, like, the Astros talked to the Twins about Correa, but nothing is close. I'd probably put that in the unlikely category, just considering how difficult it is to move a salary of that magnitude at this time of the year. But it makes sense. Like, he has plenty of ties to the Houston organization, and they obviously have a need for a player of that caliber. So I get it, but I'm not getting my hopes up for it happening now. It is definitely bold to say that something will probably happen at this time of the year. Yeah, the Astros, like, as Chandler Roman and Kenton Rosenthal of The Athletic reported, they really like Dylan Cease, and he's one of their top targets. But the Padres have made it very clear, whether it's Cease or whether it's Robert Suarez, like, in a potential deal, they would have to get players that would help them win now. And what exactly they could get in return for Cease from Houston remains to be seen. That would actually help them out for this season. I mean, maybe it could be – this is speculation. I want to make sure I say that. But maybe if that was the case, it could be a three-team deal. I don't know. Three-team deals are very hard to pull off this time of the year. So we'll see. But the noise around Cease is definitely loud in the rumor mill. But – the Padres are not going to just move him to just move him. They absolutely have to get players that can help them win immediately.
Yeah, big league catcher, big league left fielder. Sounds like Trent Grisham and J.C. Ascara to me, but obviously I am an insane person.
Yeah, you are.
Confirmed. Yeah, well, we all know that. I'm the one moderating this stream of bozos right now. So, yeah, we're all crazy here. Haven't done the Cardinals yet today. Another top tier – got a couple top tier sellers that I want to go over before we sign off that are in the comments. Cardinals first. The Pirates didn't do anything until Ke'Bryan, really, between Adam Frazier and Ke'Bryan. The Cardinals holding tight to a lot of names, Helsley, JoJo. Any thoughts on when they make their first move?
Yeah, the Cardinals, they have a lot of pitchers here that are very intriguing teams. And Ryan Helsley, I believe, if I heard correctly or saw correctly, Shai Davidi over in Toronto, who is extremely plugged in, mentioned that he heard that the Cardinals could make something happen with Helsley today. So that's perhaps something to keep an eye on here. And I trust Shai. He is one of the best in the game for sure. But they also have like Phil Maton, Steven Matz, JoJo. This is the market where teams can really, who have that bullpen depth, can take advantage of that bullpen depth and really maximize it. So they're in position to do so. And I would be pretty surprised if they did not trade multiple of those guys. Again, we've seen the rumors about Jordan Walker or Nolan Gorman or just some of those young controllable guys. I'd be really surprised. I don't expect Sonny Gray to go anywhere. Arenado has been mentioned in trade rumors forever. I still can't see that happening. That feels like, if it's anything, more of an offseason thing. But even then, they weren't able to trade him in the offseason this past year. So what makes you think that they can move him now? But their bullpen pieces or their rental guys are definitely the names to watch here.
Andrew Lee, don't take offense to bozos. It's a term. Bozo is a term of endearment, not negative. But yeah, you guys are all bozos, and so am I.
Also, one other thing too is I mean, I'm getting people aggregating my Rays listing on Yandy Diaz tweet. Whatever I said about that. Teams listen on almost every one of their players. It's not really that newsworthy, if I'm being totally honest. It's just what good teams do and how they operate. So that's not really newsworthy to me.
Yeah, really thought that he was going to move last year. Surprised he didn't go to Houston last year, and could move this summer. We don't know. Tomorrow will be the day. If it does happen, it would seem. What about the O's rentals? That was the next spot I wanted to go. Dominguez and Soto both gone. Plenty more where that came from. Cedric Mullins had himself a series in this Blue Jays-Orioles matchup this week. Robbed a homer today. If that's his swan song in Baltimore, is a pretty good one. Ryan O'Hearn, we talked about on a previous show about the Brew Crew. You know, what are your current thoughts? Mullins to the Mets and O'Hearn to the Brewers are the connections I can't really escape right now.
Yeah, Mullins and the Mets is a really good connection in my eyes. I could also see Philadelphia possibly doing something like that. There's going to be other teams that would be in the mix for Cedric Mullins. The other one that just really stands out is Ryan O'Hearn. And we've connected him to the Brewers on this show. I also think the San Diego Padres might be another team that could make some sense there. And the Padres are looking for another bat. As always, they are evaluating all sorts of different names internally, whether it's a Stephen Kwan. I could see O'Hearn being a match for them. Houston could make some sense there. There's a lot of different teams that make sense for O'Hearn. I'd be stunned if he's not moved. And those are the names that I'm watching, but I could also see some others being involved there as well. But they're going to be very active over these next 27 to 26 hours for sure.
We're getting close. Anything else that I haven't touched on that you want to share? Because man, we are getting into we're getting into it. 4 o'clock means it's officially under 26 hours. 4:02 p.m. Eastern right now.
Yeah, no, I've got nothing really cooking quite yet, but we're at the point now where I got to charge my phone because it is.
Bang.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a very busy stretch. I'm expecting maybe 3 or 4 hours of sleep tonight. But again, I appreciate everyone who tuned in. I appreciate everyone who was very kind to me about the Adrian Hauser mix up. That was something I'm pretty embarrassed about, but I'm not kidding you. I wish I could say what happened, but it was a very honest mistake, and I've gotten apologized to by a good amount. So it's, accidents happen, but we'll move on. We'll break some other stuff and we'll get over it. But I appreciate everyone who was patient with me. Adam, I appreciate you. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you. Hunter, our lovely producer, appreciate you. Want to do this again tomorrow, Adam?
I do. I want to do it again tomorrow. I saw a 24-hour stream recommendation earlier. It would be extremely fun. I don't think it's going to happen, but the best we can do is tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern time, talking you through the last stretch before the trade deadline occurs. What am I hearing? I just turned around because I thought I heard Biscuit punching at my door, and he is not tall, but he's so close to learning how to do a door handle that I'm honestly starting to get freaked out. I think he'll be in here at some point. So look forward to that. Hey, tomorrow's going to be nuts. This show's done, but join us in the Discord afterwards. And like MLB Deadline News earlier said, subscribe. We are so close to 4K. now is the time to get it, I would say. Come back tomorrow, 2 o'clock Eastern. We'll see you then. But hit that join button below the show. Get the Discord link. Join us in either the Rumor Mill or All-Star tier. Start asking your questions early. We'll get as many in on the show as we can. Tomorrow will be even wilder than today. Subscribe to the Moonshot. Read fansider.com/baseball-insiders. And Robert and I will see you in Chicago at the National this weekend, 10 a.m. Central Time. On the stage doing live podcasts, live trade deadline reaction, guests, and more. Robert Murray, thank you for doing this with me today.
No, thank you very much. We're cooking, baby. I'm hoping we can break something before too long. So we'll see. But thank you, everybody, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Take care.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.